Well, good morning, Trinity family. So good to be with you this morning. And we also want to say hello to those that are watching with us online. For those that I haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Mackenzie Richardson, and I'm our student ministries pastor here at Trinity. And so really what that means is I get the privilege of partnering with parents and discipling their students from fifth grade all the way through 12th grade. And so if you're in fifth or sixth grade, I would love to invite you to hang out with us on Sundays at 9 and 10:45 in the lower floor. Today, they're hanging out, doing some extra Christmas stuff, hanging out, partying a little bit. If you're in junior high and high school, I'd love to hang out with you guys on Wednesdays. We'll be back for the night of worship on January 6th right in here, and then we'll be back in the chapel on January 13th. Also, if you are, this is your first time here, man, we're so excited that you're here. I want to encourage you to be back with us next week as Pastor Carl will be here bringing a powerful, powerful word that you will not want to miss. I also want to say thank you to Pastor Carl and this opportunity. Getting to share with you what the Lord has been stirring in my heart the last few weeks is not something I take lightly, and I know that it's a big privilege for me, so I just want to say thank you. As we jump into today, I want to share with you a message just entitled The Keys to 2021. And I titled it that because this, how many of you remember where you were on March 13th, 2020? Anyone remember where you were? A few people? It was a Friday, I'll never forget it. I had just kind of heard about COVID-19 and kind of what was going on in the world, and it was a Friday, it was rainy, it was gloomy. I didn't realize that really what we saw in nature was kind of what was reflecting what was happening in the world. And I remember we were driving back from Tyler, Texas, working with YWAM on a TCS mission trip, and my mom, who lives in Wichita Falls, called and says, "Mackenzie, you're never going to believe what happened." And I'm like, "Okay." And she goes, "United is sold out of toilet paper." And I was like, that's an interesting phone call. And I looked at Sarah and I said, "What? We are 3 months into 2020. What is this turning into?" Very little did I know that toilet paper, Clorox wipes, and hand sanitizer would basically become gold and the most, like, best, like, negotiating tricks that you had in that time. I was like, "Wait, what? Like, did you recognize if you had toilet paper, Clorox wipes, or hand sanitizer, you can negotiate with anybody?" Immediately was like, "Hey, I've got toilet paper if you need a ride to the store. I've got hand sanitizer or Clorox wipes if you want to give me some sugar because I'm trying to bake." Like, everyone was trying to negotiate, and everyone became really good negotiators in that particular moment. I'm sure, like everyone else, I've been all over social media lately and just been seeing all sorts of funny memes about what will happen in 2021. Here are a few of my favorites. "Before I agree to 2021, I need to see some terms and conditions." Now, let's be honest. No one in this room has actually read the terms and conditions to things when they get them. They just click OK. Like, everyone's just ready to get on. They're just like, OK. And now when it comes to 2021, everyone's like, "Hold on, stop. I need to read this. I need details." Another one is, "Years from now, we're going to be like 2018, 2019, 2021, 2022, and someone's going to try and stop us and be like, 'Hey, you missed it, we're going to stop.'" No! No. We don't talk about that one. That is one we do not talk about. But here is the reality, the elephant in the room, right? When you and I look at 2021, we're probably a little bit hesitant. Most of us this last year, were doing the same thing that we want to do now but are a little bit scared of. We were thinking about dreams and goals and what 2020 could be. And if we're honest, 2020 was such a nightmare, we're hesitant to begin to think about what 2021 could be. Think about it. So many of us walked into 2020 with dreams of what our finances could look like. We walked into 2020 thinking about what our school years could look like. We walked into 2020 thinking about what our marriages could look like, what our relationships with friends and family could look like. And before we knew it, 2020 was anything but what we had planned. 2020 became scary, and it became a holding pattern for us to begin to dream about 2021, because the question is, what if it happens again? What happens if we run into the same thing? The reality is this: 2021 is coming. 2021 will be here. unless the memes are correct and it just rolls over another day into December and it stays 2020. And in which case, well, we avoided it. But I'm fairly certain that's not going to happen. 2021 is coming, and what I believe is God's word has keys to prepare us for 2021. God's word has things that can help us prepare for every season. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at Joshua to see how he navigated one of the scariest moments of his life. And here's why it's one of the scariest moments. His friend and mentor, Moses, has passed on. He's passed away. And the Lord is giving to Joshua the task of leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. And so today, if you'll stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to jump into Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, and see what the Lord has. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Father, you are awesome in this place. And God, we pray that as we hear your word declared, that our hearts would be prepared for the word that you have for us, and that our minds would be ready to receive. And God, that you would challenge us to dream again when it comes to 2021. We love you and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may grab a seat. So we're going to jump right into the keys today. And the first one is this: be in God's presence. Just be in God's presence. And the reason I say this is we cannot underestimate or overstate the importance of Moses in the role of Israel and in the role of Joshua's life. In fact, it was so important. This is how he was described in Deuteronomy. This is how Moses was described in Deuteronomy. Because he was their leader in all religious, judicial, military, and civil concerns. Like, he was a big deal. And this is how he was described. "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his servants and to all of his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel." Like, he's a big deal. Like, if there has never been a prophet like Moses up until Jesus like him to show up, that's a big statement. And then he makes it even bigger by saying, Moses met with God face to face. Those are the shoes that Joshua has to fill. And I'm sure he felt a little bit scared. He felt a little bit nervous because that's a big task. But while he was Moses' assistant, Joshua was preparing for this calling, this task, this assignment. And here's how. Man, since Moses met with God face to face, Joshua would sit outside of his tent in the presence of God. It was outside that tent that the presence of God Joshua became familiar with. And that's why in verse 5, what we see is God give Joshua this promise: "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." We have to understand, Joshua and Moses both understood the same thing, that their success was completely dependent on the presence of God. The presence of God is what has made the church successful for thousands of years. It's why Moses said, "Hey, God, I'm not going anywhere that your presence isn't going. I'm not going anywhere that your presence hasn't already, like, gone before us. I'm not doing it." And so Joshua knew when God spoke this promise, hey, I'm going to be with you like when I was with Moses. It was, hey, your presence will be with me. On September 10th, 1990, a TV sitcom on NBC began a six-year run. Most of us probably know it by the theme song that goes a little like this. In West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Does anybody recognize that theme song? Yeah. Here's the deal. Like, I'm not singing the rest of it. I'm not that musical. But it's just the reality of this. Like, Will Smith in The Fresh Prince was monumental at that time. But recently, HBO Max did a reunion special. And on that reunion special, Will Smith told a story of how when they began to record the show and they started it, he learned everybody's line. Not just his line of the script, the entire script. And the reason he learned that entire script was because he just wasn't confident in just knowing his line, so he learned all of it. And in fact, if you watch the early episodes, you can see him mouthing the words along with his castmates. See, Will's confidence was dependent on being intimately connected to his script. And our confidence in the Lord is dependent on being intimately connected to his presence. See, being in the presence of someone is more than just occupying the same space. See, we occupy or are occupying the same space right now. Like, we are in the same space. Socially distanced, of course, but we are all in the same space. That is different than being in the presence of someone. See, being in the presence of someone means that you are close enough to be heard or seen. Let me ask you this question. Are you close enough to Jesus to be heard or seen? Better question. Are you close enough to Jesus that he is seen or heard in your life? Can you hear and see the presence of God in your life? And see, I'm convinced that the presence of God always starts with an invitation. See, at Calvary, Christ opened up an invitation that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He created an invitation for us to come to the Father. But when it comes to our day-to-day relationship, you and I have to invite the presence of God to live and dwell. I'm sure some of you are beginning to ask, so how do we get into God's presence? I'm so glad you asked. I came with an answer. There are three easy ways for us to be in God's presence. Worship, prayer, and the Word. Worship, prayer, and the Word. And the reason I say that is in verse 8, God instructs Joshua to meditate on the Word of the Lord, to meditate on the law, so he would know how he would know it and he would do it. See, the Word of God was never designed, never meant to just be something that we heard and listened to. The Word of God was never intended for us to come in and just receive. The Word of God was always intended for us to live out. The Word of God was always intended for you and I to live out with our hands and feet. See, the Word of God is always meant to be done. And so really, when he says meditate, he's not talking about this clear your mind, Zen type, sit down, crisscross, applesauce, and hum type thing. He's actually speaking of a twofold action. The first one is focusing on God himself. When was the last time you stopped and just reflected on the greatness of God? When was the last time that we stopped and just said, God, thank you for being bigger than I am. Thank you for having ways that are higher than my ways. God, thank you that, man, I cannot always comprehend you, which is frustrating, but I can trust that you are good. When was the last time we just stopped to focus on who God is? The second part is actually to focus on his works. And as much as 2020 has taken from us, I would also like to submit to you that 2020 has given us a lot if we reflect. And here's what I mean. How many of us were able to slow down enough in 2020 to send a text that began the healing of a relationship? How many families, because 2020 caused us to slow down, we were able to just sit down, hang out, and check in on each other? Like the works of God. Things that we would have never thought about being the hand of God, and yet in his sovereignty and his power, he began to pull families back together. The other part of this is not just focusing on God himself or his works or his law, but it's also this activity that is done aloud. In fact, there's a part of it that means to mutter to yourself the law, to think about and say back to yourself the word of God. I love what we've been telling our fifth and sixth graders in 56 when we jump into worship in the song part of service. It's been this, hey, the cool thing about worship is this, all we're doing is putting truth to melody. And what we mean by putting truth to melody is this. You may not remember anything I say today, but you will remember like the Fresh Prince theme song. At some point today or this week, you'll probably like out of nowhere just start singing it to yourself, right? That's the great thing about worship. When we put truth to melody, it finds a way to settle into our hearts. It finds a way to remind us of God's goodness and remind us of what he has done when we may not be thinking about it. All of a sudden, we begin to mutter song lyrics to ourselves. We begin to say to ourselves the truth of God's word so we can think about who God is, think about his law, and then act on it, the goodness of God. See, if you and I talk about a lot of things to a lot of different people. Thanks to Apple, we now have pinned text messages so we can pin the people that we talk to most. And I would challenge you with this. If we're going to be in God's presence, we've got to talk about God and we've got to talk to God more than we have in the past. To be in God's presence means we're going to have to talk to him. We've got to continue to grow and know who he is. And we've got to talk about him. We've got to talk about his word. We've got to begin to share some of those things that the Lord is doing. You see, being in the presence of God gives us the chance to trust the God of the promise more than the promise itself because we learn his character. And that's really the next idea is this. Trust the God of the promise. Trust the God of the promise. See, verses 3 and 4 are the promise that given to Joshua. But really what it is God in his intentionality repeats himself from Deuteronomy 11, 24, and 25. The words here in Joshua 1, 3, and 4 are identical to that in Deuteronomy. And I want to read to you this promise again because it says this, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Like, think about this. It says given to you. That means God had already given them not just the promise, but the land. All they had to do was go possess it. They already had the land. They just had to go possess it. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. See, verses 3 and 4 are the promises, and then when we look at verses 5 through 9, really what we see is the plan on how to take hold of the promise and take hold of the land. And it's really this combination of being in God's presence and obeying the law of God. It's this combo that makes it happen. But what I find fascinating in this part of the story is that at no point in Israel's history, did they ever fully take control of the promised land? Not at the great heights of King David or the heights of King Solomon. They never fully took hold of the promised land. See, the heartbreaking part of the book of Joshua is that the nation settled for comfort and compromise instead of seeing the promise of God through to its completion. God had more for them, intended more for them, and yet they were like, man, this is good enough. Let's settle here. We have promises of God in the word of God. And one of my favorites is this, he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. And I think so often what happens is, man, we give our life to Jesus and he saves us and he redeems us and we go, that's good enough. I'm comfortable here. I have an eternity in heaven. What more do I need? And I'm not trying to downplay the gift of salvation. Please hear me. The gift of salvation is the greatest gift we could ever acquire and have and be given. And yet what I am saying is this. What would happen if we decided not to just settle for that, but we recognize that the Lord has more for us? What if we didn't settle for comfort and we didn't become complacent in the gift of salvation, but we said, man, I choose today to become more like Jesus. I'm going to focus on the holiness of God and make that my pursuit. It makes sense then that we would begin to know freedom the way that Jesus intended for us to when it comes to sin that so easily entraps us. We could push back the darkness because the holiness of God we would be so set on. We would continue to see his promises come through. See, there's a reason why the process of becoming more like Jesus is a day-by-day thing. There's a reason why Jesus said you have to pick up your cross daily. Daily. How we trust in God is shown by how obedient we are to the word of God. how much we trust God will show in how we are obedient to the word of God. See, we won't get far in our journey as disciples if we only listen to God's word, but we never act on it. We've got to do it. We've got to be moving in it. See, we can't become so comfortable in what God has done in our lives up to this point that we disqualify ourselves from seeing what else the Lord can do. I'm convinced that the Lord has much more in store for us than we could ever think, dream, or imagine, but it really is going to boil down to this. Are we willing to be in his presence? Are we willing to trust him? Because he will always deliver if we will trust him. And that becomes the key. But maybe you're like Joshua, and here's what I mean. In Numbers, when Joshua goes to scope out the land, one of my favorite things is Joshua goes and scopes out the promised land, and he comes back along with the other spies, and they're like, man, we can't do this. This is not a thing. There are giants in the land, which if you're me, a giant is anything above, I don't know, 6 foot, right? Like, call it what it is. But Joshua looks at it and goes, man, I'm not here for this. I don't care if there's giants, dinosaurs, elephants, unicorns, dragons. I don't care. I know who my God is. My God said we can have it, which means we can do it. We can take it. And so what's awesome is this. Joshua is now leading them into it. I think Joshua had full confidence in God's ability to come through on his promise. I think sometimes, though, Joshua's nervousness came from his own insecurities. And so I'm convinced that is why in this particular passage, God tells Joshua not once, not twice, but 3 times, hey, be strong and courageous. And so you may be like Joshua today and you say, hey, man, it's not God I doubt. It's not God's ability to come through on his promise that I'm worried about. It's my ability to steward the promises and the gifts of God that he has given me. Can I simply encourage you today with this? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous, because the Lord sees you and he will be with you. He will not forsake you. Suppose you were given a check for $1,000. See, you only cash that check for the promised amount if you trust the person. If you don't trust that person, you're not cashing that check. You're like, that's cute, right? But if you trust them, you're like, load it up, we're going. Find me an ATM, scan it, like phone app, boom, done, deposited. But here's the deal, you only deposit it if you trust the person. But once you trust the person, you act on what they've given you. See, I would say this, trust leads to obedience, and obedience is a verb. Obedience is an action. It's not something that we just listen to. Again, obedience is a verb. See, no matter how much we trust someone, sometimes we need a reminder about how people are for us. And that's the next thought. Remember the reminders. Remember the reminders. This part of the story I absolutely love, because if God didn't show enough intentionality in repeating himself in Deuteronomy in Joshua 1, he begins to reiterate his intentionality. We serve a very intentional God. He has a plan. And here's what I mean. In Numbers 13, we see Moses change Joshua's name from Hosea in verse 8, which simply means salvation or deliverance, to Joshua in verse 16, which means Yahweh saves or Yahweh delivers. See, this is the first time we ever see the personal name of God combined with another name. And we see this, Yahweh saves, Yahweh delivers. This becomes a game changer for Joshua, for a young leader stepping into a massive task and into a massive role that is trying to gain confidence about, does he have the skill set to do this? And I would tell you, no. Joshua had military experience, military skill, but his skill set was not suited to step into this space. And I don't think it's an accident that the Lord gave him this reminder. Hey, your God saves, your God delivers, your God comes through. When it comes to the Bible, I absolutely love taking my time and jumping into the story. And so I work to, like, I'll close my eyes and try to envision what's going on, right? And so in this particular situation, as we walk through the book of Joshua, I can only imagine the sight that Joshua sees when he faces the walls of Jericho. Joshua, I can see brick walls that are hodgepodge together, but they're strong and they're formidable. I can hear chariots. I can hear people talking in the markets and all these different things. And I'm sure there's parts of the walls of Jericho that probably smelled a lot like West Texas. Let's just call it what it is, right? But I also can imagine Joshua being like, hey, God, how are we going to do this? And I can imagine God going, here's the plan, right? You're going to walk around it 7 times. Now, here's the deal. I've never served in the military, and I'm super thankful for those of you that have. But I am smart enough to know this. That is not a good battle strategy, right? Walking around a building 7 times is not the most military, like, sound way of defeating an enemy. Like, he's got to be thinking, we just came out of Egypt, and we have all this stuff. Are we not even going to throw, like, a wagon wheel at it? Like, come on, like, discus. It's just, that was not the plan. And yet, what I find so interesting, and as I imagine that scene in my head, I just imagine the Lord speaking to Joshua. Hey, I still save. I still deliver. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but trust me. Like, that's the scene I imagine. Now, you may be in here today or watching online, and you may say, hey, my name's not Joshua. It's okay. And you might be saying, my name is Joshua. Yes, I win, right? It's not a competition today. But can I tell you that the Lord always gives us reminders? The Lord has laid reminders throughout our life. And the biggest, most important reminder is and always will be the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ will always be a reminder of what God has done for you. And the fact that God is always for you and God is always with you. And the same God that saved Joshua when he charged against the walls of Jericho will be the same God that saves and delivers you today. Like, he's given us a reminder. Then he continues in being awesome and giving us a reminder of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that dwells inside of us to speak to us and encourage us and to comfort us, to come alongside when things are tough and dark and when things are joyous and awesome. See, we have reminders. He comes to remind us of not what you do, but who you are. See, when we talk about the reminders that Jesus has given us because of the Holy Spirit and because of the cross of Christ, what we are constantly reminded of is this: you and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You and I have been adopted into the family. We are united. We're reminded that it doesn't matter what we do for a living, whether we're an IT tech, a surgeon, a mechanic, a baker. It doesn't matter what you do. What matters is whose you are. And you, my friend, are a son or daughter of the King. See, this is the reminder. But more than that, I want to let you in on a secret. Your testimony, what the Lord has done and is doing in your life, really isn't even about you. You see, what God is doing in your life, the testimony that he's building, the story that he's writing, really is about him, and it's about his greatness and his power so that others may come to know him, so that others may know his great love and power. Your testimony is not about you. See, your testimony can serve as a reminder or an encouragement to those around us. And see, that's why here at Trinity, we believe that everyone has a next step. You know what? Your next step today may be swinging by the Dream Team table and signing up to volunteer. Because there are children and students and young adults that are college students that need to hear your story so that they can be encouraged and reminded that if God did it once, he can do it again. It may be you need to volunteer so you can hear the story of somebody else about how God revived something that you thought was long dead. Because here, again, your testimony isn't about you. It's about God's power. Your next step might be swinging by the Trinity Life booth and signing up for one of our pillar classes that will launch on January 13th. See, here at Trinity, we believe everyone has a next step. And as we take our next steps, we'll receive reminders. See, we can't predict what will happen in 2021. 2021 will come with triumph and tragedy. 2021 will come with opportunity, and 2021 will also come with some closed doors. But what you and I can't control is the fact that 2021 will come with laughter, and 2021, what we can't control is will probably come with some tears. You and I can control how you and I create memories in 2021, and we can control how when we look back at 2021, how we lived in the presence of God and how our lives have been marked by the presence of God. We can control how we trusted God and saw him deliver on some old promises and how he delivered some new ones that we then get to anticipate. We also get to control how we talk about the story of God. What is the story you'll tell? But for some of us today, that's going to mean that we have to make a decision. So for some of you today, that means you're going to be required to make a decision to surrender your life to Jesus today for the first time, or either an act of rededication. And if that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. So if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes and no one look around, just you, me, and Jesus, and you say, hey, today I want to make a decision to follow Jesus for the first time, or an act of rededication, please pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you are now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me the strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.